Podcasting 2.0 for October 13th, 2023, episode 150, Inshitification. Woo! Oh yeah, everybody, welcome once again to Podcasting 2.0. This is where it all goes down. It is the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, the future, the present, the now of podcasting. And of course, we are the only boardroom that meets on Friday the 13th. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who kills roosters with his bare hands. Say hello to my friend on the other end, and ladies and gentlemen, the only Mr. Dave Jones.
Sir Spencer said, the wait is over.
Hello, 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 hello. Hey, Dave, how you doing, brother? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm riding the mute button a little bit as I partake in my beef milkshake.
Oh, are you... You have a quick turnaround today. You still have a lot of work at the day job, I guess, right?
Yeah, but I'm good. Yeah? I'm good.
Okay,
I'm hanging in there. I will be a much happier person next week, though.
So will I. Well, actually, I'm a happier person now because I did my taxes Wednesday. I'm a late filer. I pay in April, but I file. I'm a late filer.
I like how you just classify yourself as that. I'm a late filer.
Yeah.
Just a heads up.
Yeah.
Everybody at accounting firms hate you.
That's why I don't use an accounting firm. I do it myself.
Oh, okay. Then you just hate yourself.
No, I don't. I have to say, well, the problem is I have to wait on other stuff. I have to wait on other people and, you know, because there's other K-1s that come in for my wife and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. So no one ever gets it on time, which is why I understand why accounting firms hate people who do that. But I'm a TurboTax guy. I love it. I love sitting there and it gives that little counter. It says, you owe $5 million. Okay, hold on a second. Let me see. What can I deduct here? And it goes, and it goes, oh, good. It goes down. Okay. Well, let me see, bud. There must be something else. And then it pops up a little dialogue. Hey, we can get you more deductions. Yes, yes, yes. Click, click. What can you get me? Am I a veteran? Oh, can I claim myself as a veteran? No, I guess not. Not today. Am I a victim of hurricanes? Oh, yeah.
My favorite part of TurboTax is the thing at the very end that's like the audit protection scam.
Oh yeah, no, I'm all in on the audit protection scam.
It's like, you be careful. You be careful. You may get audited, so you probably want to buy our audit protection service.
Well, let me tell you. I have always purchased I think they moved, it was $40, now it's $60. Audit protection scam. And the 1 year I got audited, which was 9 years ago, I'm due, believe me. I was very happy I had it.
So what did they do for you?
They give you a lawyer.
They just give you one.
Yeah. And so I had a full-time lawyer. I could call him all the time. He came out actually to meet with me and the IRS agent.
I thought you were just saying he came out. I'm like, you? I mean, that's a little odd. That's an odd relationship to have with a tax lawyer.
I understand the scary, meter that says, oh, you have a very high chance of getting audited. Well, I have that regardless because I'm self-employed. I have K-1s. I have a Schedule C.
Oh, you're just begging for it. On paper, you're just, they have a target with your face on it in the IRS office.
Right. Well, every 10 years is when it's my turn. And it was that was 2015 and it really, really sucked. But I mean, I'm just happy I didn't have to pay. I've had 20 years ago when the IRS showed up in my business with their guns, literally with guns, we've been looking for you.
a lot of people don't know that if you're an American citizen,
yes,
you leave the country for some amount of time, let's say, you know, years, you don't just stop paying taxes. You're supposed to keep writing a check. And if you don't, they will find you.
You have to file. You don't have to write a check. You have to file.
File.
And my accountants had not filed, even though they knew exactly what they should have been doing. And this is when I had a lot of money back in the day. And so then I come in after not living in the States for like 10 years and they, hey, and I start showing up on payroll, man, they put me through the ringer and that cost me $40,000 in lawyers' fees.
Ouch.
You know, accountants and lawyers. So I was very happy with my $40 lawyer. I mean, I wouldn't say he was an attack dog by any means, but at least he channeled the communication between me and the IRS. So
this is more like the court appointed lawyer that you get when you're trying to, you know, it's like
a step above that, a little step above it, but yeah, whatever.
I have many accountants in my life. Somehow my family and my day job and everything is just dominated by accountants and accounting. Yeah. And, I will say that, I predict that you will not be in the next decade. You will not be audited again.
Oh, really?
I think the IRS is so hard up for people to work. I think all of the, all of the audits are going to be all the in-person audits and everything. They're all going to be just, they're just going to be a thing of the past. Mostly everything they're going to try to claim get their money back through technical means, closing loopholes in regulations and stuff. There's just not enough people.
Well, you cannot hire enough people. And I understand that, but they have literally said they're going after LLCs, partnerships.
That is going to be, I think but it's all going to be automated where you're going to have, if an LLC is a member of another LLC, that's going to be a trigger.
I see. Yeah. And that should be a trigger, quite honestly.
Yeah, because you're going to have things like, they're going after stuff like the environmental easement scams and those kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah. And the Paycheck Protection Program.
Yeah, if you have an LLC that has more than 100 members, stuff like that. Mm-hmm, yep.
I had some moments this past week. Some big oh wow moments.
Wow. Okay.
Exactly that. I went, oh wow. Wow.
Oh wow.
And it started on Tuesday. I was 2,000 miles overdue for my 10,000 mile car thing, you know, the first big service.
Adam Curry.
Which I financed, actually. I financed it right into my loan. But the car was very mad at me.
Yes. You know,
it was like, shall we call for an appointment? I can call for you right now. Lights flashing on and off, you know.
Dashboard lit up like A1, Christmas tree.
A1, you know, all these different, all kinds of warnings. Oh, man, your car's going to spin out of control. You're going to die if you don't get this thing in.
Oh, yeah.
So that means I had to go to Austin. And I also, I went to my hairdresser because I had the same one in Austin. We've been friends for 12 years. So I just love her. And she always has the latest Austin gossip for me, which is usually off the hook and great, no agenda show material. So I had to, I start off, I'm listening to a sermon from some pastor. And then I'm like, I'm getting, and then I was listening to Beautiful Outlaw audio book. I just love that time alone in the car where there's just nobody can distract me or anything. The car almost drives itself. You know, you got to keep your hands on it's not an electric vehicle. But all cars kind of have a co-pilot thing these days.
My truck drives itself. If you're going downhill,
it'll work.
Yeah.
Your truck will be the only thing left on the road after the Armageddon. Everything else will just stop. And that's actually my big oh wow moment.
And cockroaches, Velveeta cheese, and my truck. Those are the three things that will exist after EMP pulls.
Your truck will actually drive on Velveeta cheese, won't it?
Yeah, it's convertible. Yes.
Is it diesel?
No.
Oh man, that's too bad. Because you could melt cheese and it would drive on that.
But it could. It can't. We can go wood gas in a pinch.
Gasifiers, baby. They're the future. Mm-hmm.
From trailer mounted wood.
Yeah.
Wood.
It's called a gasifier. Yeah. They used it during the Depression.
Which, to the great embarrassment of my wife, but it will work.
No, yes. Because she'll be on the back shoveling wood into the gasifier as you're driving along. She'll have a job. Baby, you got a job.
Remind me to tell you my misogyny story one day. Yes.
Okay, this is not for the show, not for the board meeting?
Oh, no, it's for the board. It can be for the board meeting, but I don't want to interrupt your flow, though.
Oh, okay. Well, so, and I get this message, and I'm like, this thing that I saw this morning, I should probably listen to that. And it was an interview with Yiannis Varoufakis. And Yiannis Varoufakis is actually a guy I kind of never liked. He was, for a brief time, about 5 or 6 months, he was the finance minister for Greece. And he...
Not a job anybody wants.
Well, this was in 2010, I think, when, you know, the banks essentially bankrupted Greece, and then all of Northern Europe hated them. I mean, people were so mad at Greece because, you know, you guys, you're all the fault of all our financial problems, and people going into Greek restaurants in Amsterdam and not paying, saying, yeah, you owe me that. I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible. And Yanis Varoufakis is an economist, a professor of economy. You've probably seen him, bald head, you know, really kind of deep voice, motorcycle kind of guy. And he's a devout socialist. I think he calls himself a Marxist, but in the most traditional sense of the word, whatever that means. Whatever that means.
I love the degrees and the specificity by which Marxists proclaim their Marxism. There's always caveats. I'm a Marxist, but I'm not that kind of Marxist. I'm a 4-point Marxist or whatever, you know.
Yeah, he was actually like, I love Hegel, but you know, I'm a Marxist. It's like, anyway.
Yes.
So, but you know, he's done a lot of, he's written books, and I always felt he's kind of an elitist douche, but he's written a new book called, Techno-Feudalism. And
oh, God.
I thought, yeah, you know, you're having the same response Dvorak had. I couldn't get him to think about it either.
Well, it's just the name. It's just so, I mean, you can already imagine.
When you hear the techno-feudalism, what do you think the book is about?
AI.
No. No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I'm wrong. I'm willing to get you. You said that he was an elitist douche, and I'm making notes I have an elitist douche checklist.
Oh yeah.
And I'm making notes. I'm like
Marxist, you know, probably, check.
Yes. Yeah. Like finance minister of Greece.
Check.
Check. Yes.
Motorcycle.
Check.
Bald head. Yes. Check. Yeah, check.
Really low voice like Klaus Schwab. Check. No. I mean, we're hitting all cylinders right here. So go ahead.
So I'm going to play a little bit from I was great. I was at the deal. I had to wait 3 hours. So they have a cappuccino bar. So I set up my laptop. I'm doing all my email. I'm listening to these things. And this is just one example of what he says is techno-feudalism. And it kind of hit home for me about the stuff we're doing here at Podcast Index and this band of thieves and robbers that are surrounded around this project, this Podcasting 2.0 RSS and Podcast Index and apps and wallets and all this stuff. So this is just 1 minute. He explains a version of techno-feudalism.
But what has happened is, if you're Jeff Bezos, if you are the owner of Google, of Apple, if you're Elon Musk, then you own this new form of cloud capital, which allows you to extract from the rest of society, from proletarians, but from everyone else as well, huge quantities of rents and surpluses in a manner that reconstitutes a form of feudalism. The difference is that instead of the original feudalism, which is a system based on private ownership of land, which produces rent, now it's private ownership of the cloud, of cloud capital, because the cloud is capital, right? It's not some cloud up in the sky, which yields again a form of rent. Every time you buy something from Amazon.com, 40% of what you pay doesn't go to the capitalist who is selling you that stuff. It goes to Jeff Bezos. That's a cloud rent, and he is a new form of feudal lord.
So when I listened to this, I immediately thought about Apple. Yeah, we call it the Apple tax, but it's really Apple saying, hey, you want to be on our platform? We forced you into apps. Now, if you want to make any money, that's fine. You can make money, but you got to pay us 30%, which is pretty high rent.
Yeah.
Spotify tried to do this, but they didn't really own their capital. The record companies own their capital. The record companies don't care about what they're doing with podcasting. In fact, it was their own desperate attempt to make some money outside of the music business by taking this free content. Make no mistake, they're charging for your free content. If someone pays $5 a month, or I don't even think it's $5 anymore, it's probably $7, pays $5. Yeah, you're paying for your music. And just look at musicians. You know, they're in essence taking money, whether someone listens to your show or not, to your music or not, to your show or not. This is, in a way, what Apple had become, although they never charge money for it. But, hey, you want a subscription? Yeah, we got subscription services for you. 30%. We're going to take that right off the top. all of these, and it's not just money. Like Google, they have tremendous, what Vero Fakis here would call cloud capital, because you actually feed back your data to them in many different ways. You know, that's like time, talents, and treasure. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your data. We're going to suck that all up. And they turn around and sell you know, your own body, your own behaviors to other people. And, you know, there's reasons why this, you know, there's no Twitter in the EU. You know, there's no Google of the EU. There's only these massive companies, which for all kinds of understandable reasons have become, in a way, our overlords and control us to the degree now that if you look at the digital services agreement in the EU, if you look at the Online Safety Act in the UK, if you look at what Canada is doing with their CRTC, I think it is, you know, and their You Must Register, this is all because of these platforms. And these platforms have so much power. They bring in so much money. I mean, why does the EU sue Google and Apple and want to sue Twitter, X all the time? Because they have no way of extracting any money from them. They don't get any tax revenue.
Other than lawsuits, yeah.
Yeah, they don't get any tax revenue. That's all, you know, fussed away in all kinds of different manners. And as I'm listening to this, I'm saying, like, this is exactly why podcasting is still what it is today. And has not been sucked up into some, and Google's still trying it. They are once again trying, because you can, I guess, add your RSS feed into Google YouTube Music, and in a way, you know, I guess it's a way to distribute your podcast. But they won't let you have ads. They'll extract all value from your community in player stats. You know, I mean, once you're in the app, they even know if you were listening or watching something, laying down, walking, standing up, in the car. I mean, they know all this stuff.
Yeah, right.
So they are taking all the capital. And I realized that what we've created with Podcast Index and with Value for Value, it's a critical piece. This is where Vero Fakis, as a socialist, doesn't quite get it. We have a collective cloud. And the members of the cloud, the participants of our cloud, let's just call that Podcast Index, we are distributing value all throughout this system, in and out, in the form of the easiest form is Satoshis. And the more I look at this model, the more I see what we are doing here is just an easy way. Because it's podcasting and it has a certain cachet, it has an independent nature. Thank God we have hundreds, if not worldwide, thousands of independent hosting companies. There's ways to host yourself. This is the only future for any type of media distribution. The only way forward. I don't care what Noster says. It's a great idea, but they can't reinvent 24 years really of development and infrastructure, which is solid. It's just solid throughout all the pipes. It's there.
Yeah, it's established. It's entrenched.
It's completely entrenched. It's completely. I mean, even if you look now. And so this is for a number of things. It's for unfettered distribution. You can call it free speech if you want, but how about unfettered distribution? I don't even believe in censorship resistant as a term. I mean, this is one-to-one, one-to-many, and it's unfettered. There's no interference. There's no model that these big institutions or governments can come up with to disrupt the RSS distribution at all. And if you look now at the DSA dashboard,
what is that, by the way? Can you, where do I go to see?
Yes. So the Digital Services Act is, let me just bring it up here. The Digital Services Act is the regulation in Europe that Let me bring it up where I have this link here somewhere.
This is great. I just searched for Digital Services Act.
Yeah.
Hit the first link in the Google result. It takes me to the Digital Services Act package page, and it has a promo video on here. And in the promo video, the thumbnail says, "Protecting fundamental rights and freedom of expression." This is such a classic government reversal. We're restricting your rights and freedom of expression by protecting your rights and freedom of expression.
To protect your freedom. Yes, exactly. Yeah, your freedom. So the Digital Services Act is a set of regulations. It boils down to this. Hate speech is not allowed. Violence is not allowed. Riling somebody up for violence is not allowed. Disinformation is not allowed. And they're now going after all the platforms. The top ones are TikTok, Pinterest, Amazon, Facebook, Google, and X.
Pinterest is the one that confuses me.
Porn. Pinterest is mainly porn. And so they have these categories: violence, intellectual property infringements, pornography, or sexualized content. There's a difference there. What is pornography? I don't know, but when I see it, I'll know.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they are going after the platforms and requiring the platforms to delete, and I can go into all the keywords and categories. I can go in here for a second. I can give you an example. Animal welfare, data protection and privacy violations, illegal or harmful speech, intellectual property infringement, negative effects on civic discourse or election, non-consensual behavior, pornography or sexualized content, protection of minors, risk for public security, scams and or fraud, self-harm, scope of platform service, unsafe and illegal products, that's where Amazon comes in, and violence. So these are all the top categories that are being tracked by this Digital Services, Digital Service Act Transparency Database. So in the EU, this is EU only, how many takedowns, because that's what they're tracking, is statements of reasons for takedown, per hour do you think are occurring right now across platforms in the European Union?
Per hour. Let me see. So supposedly Facebook has, let's just say, 1 billion users.
And I'll tell you that TikTok is at the top of the list, actually, with takedowns, interestingly enough.
TikTok?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that kind of makes some sense. How many users did TikTok have? Do we know? How many monthly active users?
No idea. I mean, but just what do you think would be a reasonable number to be flagging or taking down per hour in the EU?
Just see, it's only the EU. I would. It would probably have to be like 10,000.
10,000 per hour. Currently, 147. 1,202 takedowns per hour.
That doesn't even seem possible. Like, what could this possibly be?
And all those things I just mentioned. Basically, stuff the government doesn't like. You said it yourself best. Once you have a big red button, it's hard not to press it.
Yeah, when you build a thing, I think we did this thought experiment when Gigi was on the show and I was trying to make a point. You know, the thought experiment goes like this. You know, you build a system. Let's say the government builds a system where every home in the country has a lock on the door, and this lock is remotely controllable by a big red button in a government office somewhere. And they said, well, this is only in case of emergencies that we're going to use this button, and it's going to lock everybody inside their homes. And you build it, and forevermore, you're just staring at that button. Mm-hmm. You're like, mm-hmm. Man, the definition of emergency starts to creep lower and lower. Yes. And lower. When you have the ability to do something like this, just the point is, the point of the thought experiment is just to say that when you, if you allow the capability to be built, you are forcing its usage.
I have the here's the full list of things that are being taken down for the following reasons. This is over the last 90 days. Okay. Some of them are repeats of what I just said. Animal heart, adult sexual material, age-specific restrictions concerning minors, age-specific restrictions, biometric data breach, child sexual abuse material, content-promoting eating disorders, coordinating harm, copyright infringement, dangerous toys, data falsification, defamation, design infringement, discrimination, disinformation, foreign information manipulation and interference, gender-based violence, geographic indication infringements, geographical requirements, goods and services not permitted to be offered on the platform, grooming, sexual enticement of minors, hate speech, human exploitation, human trafficking, illegal organizations, image-based sexual abuse, including content depicting minors, impersonating or account hijacking, inauthentic accounts, inauthentic listings, inauthentic user reviews, incitement to violence and or hatred, insufficient information on traders, language requirements, misinformation, missing persons ground for data, non-consensual image sharing, non-consensual items containing deepfake or similar technology using a third-party feature, nudity, online bullying or intimidating, patent infringement, phishing, pyramid schemes, regulated goods and services, right to be forgotten, risk for environmental damage. I mean, this, so any, we have probably had five infractions just in the 25 minutes we've been talking.
Oh, yeah, before the show started. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is all fine, but there's no way for anyone to regulate this in the RSS-based system. That doesn't mean that we need to be a free-for-all for everything, but this is never going to, the collective governments, and in the U.S., we still have this Constitution, very annoying, this annoying First Amendment, very annoying thing. But even that has, you know, we've got Section 230 and this, you know, the regulation is creeping in. You've seen the university studies of podcasting, how harmful it is. And this has to stop and we have to get rid of this. And right now, the only weakness in podcasting is advertising. That's the only weakness. That's the only place they can get you at this point. They cannot, quote unquote, get you any other way. And what we've built here, I believe, is a model for to bring back weblogs with, you know, you can turn it into a micro blogging service. I mean, that's easy. It's just how you present it in an app. I mean, that's how Twitter started. It was RSS feeds. This is the model for video distribution, the model for books, the model for thoughts, the model for everything that you want to distribute. And we have built this model and are showing that it is complete. They have not been able to penetrate it even with $1 billion.
I'm trying to find out. So I have a question here. Same as a reason issued fall primarily in these categories. Okay. What's interesting, as I'm looking at what you're showing me about the DSA, under most active platforms, yeah, TikTok, Pinterest, Amazon, Facebook, Google Maps, most used categories, the number one is scope of platform service.
Yep.
So scope of platform service, am I right? And it's a weird phrase. So that sounds like violations of the platform's terms of service.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that what that is?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Which I'm because sure it will be all kinds of, you know, subcategories of impersonating, intimidating, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They may just not, they just report that under this other category.
Yes. Okay. So this says statements of reason issued fall primarily in these categories, scope of platform service, 3 million statements covering age-specific restrictions, good services not permitted to be offered on the platform, nudity, etc. Okay, so that, yes, so this scope of platform service category, of which there were, Yesterday alone, there were 2,047,247 requests for takedown. Based on scope of platform service only.
Yeah. And the platforms are doing that because they're being threatened by governments. Hey, you better take that down. We know this because this is right now went from the Fifth Circuit to the Supreme Court. It's back in the Fifth. It'll take years. But what the Trump and Biden administrations were doing, and with that, I mean FBI, CDC, Department of Health and Human Services, and the Homeland Security Department, Department of Homeland Security. They were all threatening social media companies to take things down. Then if you're killing people, you'll be held accountable. You know, we have ways to get to you. These are in emails. This is all, you will not hear any reporting on this.
Well, the way they did it, and this came out,
Twitter files.
The Twitter file. Yeah, Twitter files. If you know, a lot of the Twitter files were boring, but if there's one takeaway from, and one thing that I think, one great service that I think it did was it showed what the method was. And the method is exactly this. It's you report something to the platform, and what you say is, we think that these posts or these users are violating your community guidelines.
Yes. Yes.
Your terms of service. Yeah, you don't tell them to do. You say here's a bunch of content that is violating your platform's terms. And once you have a government that tells you that, it creates this nice separation of concerns where the government can say, hey, look, we're just reporting your own violations of your own terms. We're not saying to take it down.
Right.
We're just saying, And then the platform is like, yeah, but it's the government tell me to take it down. And there's a lot of stuff going on in Section 230. And if I don't take this down, like it creates this very nice, plausible deniability and that's exactly the way this works. It does not surprise me at all that statements, the scope of platform service is the number one category. And that's the way it's probably always going to be.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So this is a long way of saying podcasting as a distribution mechanism. You know, we all know what we think a podcast is, but the actual method of distribution, it's a misnomer, and that's too bad, but we're just stuck with it. But the only way forward for humanity, literally for humanity, is RSS-based distribution. And I'll take it one step further. We probably have to all focus on browser-based services. Progressive web apps, pure browser-based, because they're coming for all apps, all of them. All apps are going to be scrutinized because the platform is now Apple. And Apple has too much to lose with all these governments and all this crap. I mean, they can say, oh, no iPhones in Europe then. Okay, that's fine. As China said it, no iPhones to be sold in China unless you do X, Y, or Z. Or unless you remove this from your search or don't allow that app to show up. The web is truly the only frontier we have left. Now, the beauty is we have the index, which can be filled to the brim with any type of feed we want with the medium tag. Genius. Genius. Dave Jones. Alex Gates. Genius. The saving grace is Podping. We need to build that out. And the way it works so that we're not just, good Samaritans is the value for value piece. And it'll only work with consumers of content who should also be producers of content. If you look at the way value for value works, to feed back into the system. And those that have audiences that don't feed back into the system will probably eventually go away. So this whole idea that was started with the success of Serial and then the big money that was dangled in front of us from Spotify and other big technology companies mainly, it's all gone. It's all gone away. And maybe that'll come back when interest rates go back down to zero. Inevitably they will. It may be 10 years, it may be 10 months, maybe 10 minutes, I don't know. And it literally, it could happen. This is if you're a creator, it's not a, you're not, it's not a business model being a creator. You're doing a podcast for some reason, the entertainment, all of that. Yeah, that's right. You need to be on the platforms. You need to play by the platform rules. You can probably get platform money, mm-hmm. but the amount of people who are ever going to get to that level is less than 1%.
I was listening to Show Prep on the way in, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Putney's Weekly Review. Mm-hmm. And I think James had a very good way of putting it. His statement was, in discussing YouTube, he said, the way that YouTube works is, if you make enough money, they'll let you keep some of it. I thought that was a great way to describe it. He's exactly right.
Yes,
if you make enough money, they'll let you keep a little bit of it.
Well, I'm glad you heard that episode, because there was a lot of to do about this app that is using free content and charging $49 for it to put you to sleep at night. And okay, I'm like,
I didn't hear that part.
Well, I mean, you might have. It was a Pod News story earlier in the week. Some, I forget what it's called, but you know, they're taking content that is out there for free and they're charging people $49 for an app. I'm like, so that's what Google does. That's what Spotify does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, distribution is distribution.
They throw ads in it.
I get ads all the time in podcasts that are on, you know, like Joe Rogan. I pay for a subscription. I still get ads. But the bottom line is, what we're doing here is not, it's never going to be for big money. And there might be some exceptions, but in general, it's going to be the value for value proposition keeps the engine running. And October 26th, it'll be our 16th anniversary of No Agenda. We are not rich by any stretch of the imagination. And it took us 5 years of early 5 years with barely, I mean, well, we started just as the iPhone 1 came out. And then it took a long time for that to really progress. It takes a long time and a lot of dedication and an outstanding product to create a value flow that you can live on. I think I would say 2 years, you have to do your show regularly for 2 years before you can really build up an audience that will sustain you. But it is possible. Everybody wants the old way of doing things. And the old way of doing things is, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be restrictive. You're going to be very spun up and worried all the time, if not about a deplatforming, a demonetization. But the worst part is de-algoization. That's where the true evil lives, is the algos. And the algo makes people on YouTube work. It's like a hamster wheel. Run, hamster, run. Otherwise, the water doesn't dribble in. You don't get your little piece of the money. Long way around of saying, we are doing something that is, I think, is bigger than podcasting. It's, and you already see, I know Stephen B's thinking about it. How do we do value for blogs? The first thing is, the model we have can be replicated. Forget the per minute streaming. Obviously, that's not really going to work with, you know, you have to send me 100 sats because I read your blog or I scrolled down or whatever.
Yeah.
But I will say, the browser is the only place, and even that. I mean, I think you can load a different browser on an iPhone, but it will never be your default browser, right? That's always going to go to Safari.
As of now, yeah.
Yeah, as of now, you can still load a different browser. I think PWAs are the only way to go. And you're probably going to have to go to a different type of mobile device in the future as well. Just because they're closing it in. And it's all for your protection, to protect your freedoms, to protect everybody else's feelings. And, and the people who thought, oh, this is so great, we can get rid of these a-holes, these douchebags, these scumbags, these white nationalists, these racists, these transphobes. Guess what? It's going to be used on you too.
Always. It always is. That it's just, if you don't think it will, it's just an ignorance of history. Like I said, when you build it, it's there. and it compels its own use. You don't build something just for the other guy. When you build it, it's going to be used against everybody because it's more than human nature. It's a law of reality that when you have a thing in front of you, you find reasons to use the thing. Mm-hmm. You can't help it.
That's your big red button theory.
Yes. Yeah. You can't help it. And so if you create a master, I mean, I'm just going to call it what it's censorship. When you create a master censorship list, regime, that thing is going to be used for everybody.
Stop right there.
Okay.
Exactly what happened with Mastodon. The Fediverse, great idea.
Block list.
I am on every block list by default. Me. It's not just no agenda. No, it's me. Oh, Curry's involved with that block. Podcast index.social is on block list because Adam Curry's involved with this. He's from No Agenda block.
Well, we're on... If you federate, there's now second tier lists where if you federate with somebody on the block list, you're on the block list.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the way this stuff works. I mean, so, you know, one thing that bothers me a little bit about this whole thing is part of me thought that we were sort of finished with this endeavor of, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week where I thought we were finished with the whole let's make a full directory that doesn't have, you know, that the only thing that gets takedowns is, you know, for legal reasons, local legal. And I'm now less confident in that because the platforms are being targeted directly now. I mean, it's Rumble. They're going after Rumble, and then it's soon. But mark my words, soon it will be Substack. They will go after it.
Oh, totally.
Is Substack based out of Australia? Something tells me that it is.
I think so. Maybe could be.
Okay, I think maybe one of the founders is there. I'm not real sure. Anyway. Neither here nor there, but they will go after Substack because Substack has way too much on, like Seymour Hersh, people like that. These people have got to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. They're too dangerous to let them out there and saying the things that they're saying. So that bothers me a little bit because I'm like, well,
we're based in San Francisco.
San Francisco. Okay. Mm-hmm. part of me is thinking, I think I described it last week as we need to focus on decentralization.
Well, okay. And, so yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It kind of came back up during the week this week because, we're trying to solve the issue of podcasts getting sort of deprioritized in the index. You know, for financial reasons, we cannot poll 5 million feeds every 15 minutes. It's not going to happen. So one of the biggest things that I've had to do since day one of the index is with every step of the build out of the index for the last 3 years, it has been in my mind with each step to make sure, because we have a limited budget, make sure that we are doing everything as efficiently as possible. That means we can't fully parallelize because that costs a lot of money. We can't scale out. We have to use time as our biggest factor. The way that has played out in sort of the reality of what the index does under the covers is if a podcast goes for 6 months with no new episodes, it gets deprioritized. So it's the index stops polling it very often. It goes into what I usually call this lazy polar. It's basically it'll get around to it whenever it gets around to it. Eventually it'll get polled, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
So this obviously has a downside. I mean, the downside is, you know, sometimes podcasts go on hiatus, which is what happened to the CNN Israel,
mm-hmm.
Israel Palestine thing. It went away, and then it came back when the Hamas thing happened. And that's not ideal. We need to be better than that. So the question. So then this brought up a strategy that we're throwing around. Christopher Eysine's doing some brainstorming on this, which is helpful. We're trying to decide how can we distribute the load. So you could run your own
aggravator,
right? Yeah, your own polling agent, and grab a copy of all the feeds that have not been polled in a certain period of time, like. Put feeds that seem to have been deprioritized, and then you can aggregate some of them. You can pull some of them. If you find a new episode, you can then ping us, let us know that and so then we'll re-index it and bring it back, you know, sort of resurrect it from its hypersleep. And you know, this is great, but then then this leads me sort of further down this mental path of saying, well, okay, if we're going this direction, yes, that's right, Eric, pushing to Podping. If we're going this direction, then why don't we keep going this direction and distribute load, not necessarily distribute load, but distribute the index. Now, this is a much bigger issue. I mean, like this is a much more complicated thing. But I want to think about this. I mean, we're doing this same thought process and we're doing this same discovery with IPFS.
Mm-hmm.
You built out some gateways, and we're going down this path of distributing this thing to where there are not single points of failure.
Yes.
Or single points of takedown, if you want to say that.
Yes.
And I think we need to fully explore that. And the reason I'm saying all this is because I'm thinking about it daily and coming up with some ideas. I've already got a few, you know, but I want other people to think about this as well. And it has to be, even if it's as simple as just, you know, what the sort of the technique we've always relied upon is, okay, we're going to make the database downloadable. If something happens to us and we're forced by some government entity to take down something that everybody did, you know, that there's massive disagreement about whether it should have been taken down.
Well, the categories are well known. They're right there. I would say probably 10% of the index is in violation today, right now, hands down, including no agenda.
Oh, yeah, on the EU terms? Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
The same,
yeah.
Same with the UK terms. I mean, I'm sure eventually mm-hmm. with the Canadian terms.
Yeah.
But, so you and I are thinking exactly alike. And I know mm-hmm. that's a huge undertaking.
It is.
And I think that's something we need to work on long term, but I'm seeing other things. So I don't like saying this, but I know that they're going to go after hosting companies. I know they're going to start saying, okay, we're sick and tired of this. This is showing up. They're going to go to Apple for the apps, take down that app. That's literally what Canada is going to do. But Apple, you have podcasts. Okay. So you have to register, and then that means that we're going to tell you, you have to take this podcast out of your app. And it's only a hop, skip, and a jump from there before they go, okay, Buzzsprout, okay, Blueberry, okay, Libsyn. You know, so eventually, as a business, you're gonna buckle. You're going to have to choose. And I'm not blaming anybody for doing that.
No, they don't have a choice. I mean, they're victims of this.
Yes. But I want to be out in front of it. And so really, it's we need to, it's just going to come down to things like IPFS, things like Tor. We have to start baking that in now.
Progressive, I think you're right about the PWAs. Yeah, the PWAs, I think, I'm just going to lay my cards on the table. I've always been skeptical of PWAs because I've always felt like the platforms, the mobile platforms, iOS and Android, would kneecap them.
They still might. Around, they still might.
They might. They might. But I'm thinking that's probably right. I mean, you know, the PWAs is the way. It's the way you get around all of this. Really, it's fun. I mean, because the web is where we started, and the web is what we're going back to.
It's all that is for the people. It's the only thing. And it'll take a while because there's, you know, just like there's not enough IRS agents to do audits everywhere, there's just not going to be enough EU police to go after everything. They're going to go out. It's easy for them. It's like, hey, look, we can do this. We can, you know, it's easier and more fun to go after Apple or Instagram or YouTube or TikTok because we can also find them. We get lots of money from them. You're not going to get a lot of money out of Todd.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, again, no disrespect anywhere, but and by the grace of God, we have Lightning, the Lightning Network, and we have a value for value system that enables us to spread value. It's not a lot now, but what have we been doing this really? 3 years? Seriously? I mean, the whole Lightning Network is only a couple of years old. This is built, and all the naysayers and all the detractors and all the anti-crypto people, I mean, it just slowly keeps building. It's building and building and building. And maybe we're only doing this for 3% of humanity. But that 3% will be okay. You know, and this is not just for developers and Adam and Dave. No, this is for podcasters. This is for podcast people who enjoy podcasts, who like the podcast they listen to, who want to keep hearing that, who need to support that. And if that means you have to run some kind of service at home on a computer, people will do it. But, you know, it's going to be for a small percentage, and don't expect, you know, podcasting to be a $2 billion industry. Not that it ever has been in my mind, but it's a human thing. Like what's happening right now in the Middle East, there's a lot that is not getting out. You want to talk disinformation? I'd say governments are doing more than the people right now.
By a factor of something, by a huge factor. Yeah, for sure.
And I really just want to go back to, wow, I wish I could find a couple of blogs that are updating, and I can, you know, I got feed readers. Yeah. None of them really function the way, except for the Freedom Controller. None of them really function the way that's handy, you know, and there's another thing we need to do, and this all exists. And that's, you know, we're going to have to move to the content being published in structured data. So not just your feed. This is like, I just have experience with this. The fact that I publish all my show notes and all information in OPML has been an incredible, rich experience. Because time and again, developers come along and say, oh, look at this structured data. I can read that. I can do something cool with that.
There's no need for LLMs or anything like that. It's all right there.
Yes. I mean, and why wouldn't I have my own algo that does my own shuffling of content based upon my rules? Mm-hmm. I should. That's really the main thing. You know, that's what social networks. Right now, I despise No Agenda Social. I got to say it. I started this thing. I love that Aaroner took over it because it's a tremendous amount of work. But now it's like I just want to subscribe to people and read what they have to say, and I want to, you know, I don't want to get into arguments, and I don't want to have comments back and forth in the feed. It's all wrong. It makes me unhappy.
I think this is, you know, this is interesting. I've got a clip from Paul Theriot. This clip number one. I think he. So I. I think it's worth playing this real quick just to see. Okay, so the issue here is the what we've all seen. We all know about this inshittification of the internet.
I think.
I thought that was
no,
the cue.
No. Hit it.
I think. Look, I create content. We all create content, right? This is one thing. So, not surprisingly, I see the value in content, and I see the value in paying for good content. I try to support content sources that I think are high quality.
Yeah.
There's a podcast that I listen to that I really like, and for the most part. And the problem is, there's not enough of it, and I'm running out of stuff to listen to. And I wish there was a thing. And they have a Patreon. And so they have little excerpts from like these Patreon episodes. So I was at the gym, and between sets, I literally went to, cause I ran out of stuff to listen to. I was like, all right, how does this work? And the thing I wanted to figure out was, if I pay them, can I use the app I use to listen to that content? Right. I think it's $4 a month or something for this particular thing. And, I couldn't figure it out. I think I have to go to the Patreon website, frankly. However, and this is the part Leo would be very familiar with, Apple, maybe not alone, but somewhat unique among podcast platform providers, has subscriptions in their podcast app that you can do on a per subscription basis. So the podcast, if I pay them directly, it's $4 a month. If I pay through Apple, it's only through the Apple Podcast app, which I don't want to use because I prefer cross platform. And it's more expensive, right? Because it's Apple. Because they're accounting for that.
It's 30%.
Yep. Yeah. So it's $5, right? That's the cost. And is like, that is a great example of something that should just be easier, right? It shouldn't matter what app I use. I should be able to sign into the account through the app and get that premium content through any podcast app. And I don't think I can. I could be wrong, but I don't think I can.
Right. Well, so right there, he's actually talking about two different techno-feudalists, which is Apple and also Patreon. What are they, like 10% these days? And they'll kick you off if they don't like you, or if they get complaints about, you know, a t-shirt you wore?
Yeah, right. I think this is an interesting, way. You know, I think as people who write stuff, who write code and sort of build out systems that do podcast delivery and podcast support, let's just call it podcast infrastructure. I think it's always interesting to hear people who are not, who are technically literate. And I'm not talking about, you know, your grandmother. I'm just talking about people who are technically literate, but who are not in the same milieu that we're in. And hear them describe what they sort of expect to happen and what their confusions and frustrations are. And, you know, what he's describing is something that is not new to anybody who built out podcast infrastructure. We all understand this is an enormous mess. And what, and it should, he says, this should be easier. Hey, everybody over here on this side of the podcast infrastructure world, we all agree this should absolutely be easier. The reason it's not has nothing to do with technology, because the technology exists and has existed forever. I mean, you could do this very easily. I mean, we got on the horn, you know, we got Tom Rossi on this show and banged out a subscription model and, you know, in a show. And that was based on stuff that we had actually done way earlier. And so this is not it's not that it's difficult or complicated. It's that these technical, what'd you call them? Technical aristocrats?
Techno-feudalism.
The techno-feudalists have put barriers in front, financial barriers. And those financial barriers are not just purely financial. They lead to deplatforming. So you violate
enslavement. It leads to enslavement.
Yeah. Look at Damas. They violated, they were deemed to have violated the terms by allowing people to send Lightning payments directly to each other. And they were taken down. They were deplatformed off of the app store. This is why the podcast app developer community is so afraid. How many times have we heard over the years that, you know, I would love to support that, but I'm just a little nervous that I'll get rejected by App Review.
Or App Review, Apple, Google. Google has some weird rules too.
Yes.
For the Play Store.
And in some ways, Google's are even more arbitrary than iOS. I mean, because you'll go long periods of time with no feedback, everything's fine, and then just out of the blue. Go ahead and play part two of that, Paul Thrutt.
This is going to come up again and again.
I don't know what the answer is. I really don't.
No, there's no, that's the problem. And it's going to, hopefully through regulation and customer pushback, some of this stuff will revert or get better, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. The government's here to help. They'll take care of it for you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so this is the answer that people think will have is, oh, if we just sue, if we just get the FTC and if we just antitrust, then all this stuff will sort itself out. No. That's absolutely not the case. Antitrust, anti-competitive, ministries of anti-competitiveness, these things around the world, they don't exist to make the marketplace more fair. They exist to give
advantage to the incumbent. The big incumbent. Exactly.
They're moat builders.
That's exactly why you're seeing AI regulation. No one knows what it is, but we can't have people doing this stuff at home. You know, we can't have that, which of course is already that genie's out of the bottle.
So but, I think this really solidifies that idea that PWAs really are probably the only thing that makes sense long term for a purely free experience.
A question about PWAs: is it possible once you've can you load an entire podcast app being a PWA local in your local browser, and can it? I mean, I understand there's a lot of things you can't get without the platform itself. Without the machine itself per se, but the virtual machine that is a browser, I mean, can it do enough? I've started to look into it a little bit. It seems like it is, so I know that, for instance, Castomatic, is a serverless app. Uh-huh. Can you do the same in a PWA? And I understand that an index or a place, to have a lightweight client, you know, you can't be, actually, I would say that the only reason we have indexes is for search. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. There's a lot of other reasons that are handy to have one, but it's really like, it removes that, the age old problem of right click on the RSS button and add it to your feed. That's really what it removes.
Yeah.
But
and that's actually bothered me in the past. I'm like, you know, the only thing we really are here for is search.
Yeah. So I understand that and search can be distributed. There's lots of different, you know, thinking about that. But can you create a PWA that just has it all in one bundle? You load it once, you know, and you load it from, you know, the server, you know, there's a command server that said, here's the latest version, kind of like a jar file back in the day, if I remember how Java used to work. Like you start it up, brings in a new jar file. Okay, everything's good to go. Can that actually work in a PWA? Can you build a podcast app that is not just a web front end, but actually has the logic in it?
I think what you're saying is, could you build an app where essentially the index was in the app
or whatever relevant, well, not just the index, but the logic of, all the logic that an app has, you know,
you mean like aggregating feeds itself,
the ones that you subscribe to, storing, downloading, storing stuff. There's enough space and all that within its machine, whatever that is. I mean, I thought that used to be a problem. Oh, you only have so much room to store stuff. Can you store Can it download to your drive? Can it talk to your logical file system? You know, all these things that I've not kept up on over the years as PWAs mm-hmm. have progressed, I think.
My understanding is that PWAs have access outside of the browser CrossOrigin sandbox. Somebody okay. correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the case. I don't think they're restricted by same origin policy.
Mm, okay.
If that's the case, you definitely could do what you're saying. Benjamin Bellamy, you know, he had talked before about building apps with the whole directory just in it.
Sure.
You grab a copy of the index and
it's 60 gigs or whatever.
Yeah, 60 gig app download. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you download it once.
Well, you don't. Yeah. It's definitely doable because you could actually, this is a really interesting idea. If you had like a C, I can envision a service. Okay, I can envision us doing sort of like a build your own directory function mm-hmm. so that you could say, okay, I want all of these feeds. Let's say you had some way to efficiently select large quantities of feed. I want all of Blueberry's feeds. I want all of Buzzsprout's feeds. I want all of RSS.com's feeds. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up. You could, large swaths of feeds, you could curate and say, okay, I want a database with just that. And then you download a custom database to throw into your app as a built-in feed database. And then, your app could then sort of pull the index to get fresh content whenever it needed it, or download the weekly full dump or whatever. I don't know. I'm just brainstorming here. I'm trying to think of ways where you could have a fully self-contained app that didn't suffer from like potential deliverability blocks.
Right. Well, that's another thing. There's always blocks. There's always roadblocks. There's always things that'll happen. But I mean, it really. If you just take it back to this simple RSS, just blogs, just for a second, just micro blogging, just mm-hmm. real simple. A progressive web app should be able to subscribe to feeds, pull them, but also create and modify your own feed and upload it to IPFS or, mm-hmm. Something else. And then you just basically created a competitor to every social network out there. And how you present the content, that's what determines what it is. So, I've always advocated for different types of podcast app experiences. It's still kind of it's still email. I mean, we're still doing email. Here's the people who sent you stuff. Here's an indicator that says there's new stuff. Most of them have kind of the river of news idea, like Podverse and Fountain. You have a scrolling list. That's the thing that is enjoyable about a podcast app is I see what's new in chronological order, and it's not determined by some algo as to what I'm seeing first or what's being pushed in my face or, a comment that I can't control and not showing up, the same infrastructure applies, the exact same infrastructure. And probably, eventually it doesn't mean that hosting companies have to go away at all, but we're going to have to start thinking about creating these things.
There's just a different. There's a difference in purpose between, fundamentally between what I would say open source, which is us, is trying to do, and what the podcast industrial complex, what their endeavors are.
You're fundamentally, absolutely, open source. The web is open source. RSS is open. It's open. Anybody can use it. Anybody can create it. The minute it's right. not, they're creating cloud capital, and it's meant to keep you out, and it's meant to make money on it, which mm-hmm. is fine. But unfortunately, the world is so connected now that it's not just about money. It's about power. It's about information, power of information, the power of words, you know, that we need to create. We need to continue to create. We're doing it. We need to continue to create that parallel universe. The same thing. We had a very lovely call with Sam and Michael from WaveLake on Monday.
Yeah.
And it was good because we cleared a lot of things up. And it really dawned on me. So the same thing applies, by the way. I mean, eventually someone's going to go to WaveLake and say, hey, you know, this song has this lyric in it, which I accidentally played on Boostergram Ball, which,
yes, I saw that.
which
condolences.
It's okay. Which, you know, is against, European rules. It's violence towards women. It's, you know, it's provocating, which, by the way, is what art sometimes is supposed to be, if not always. WaveLake, you got to take that off. You know, that's going to happen. You just know it's going to happen. Doesn't mean that companies that handhold, and boy, I got a real, I was humbled by my misunderstanding of the difference between a podcaster and musicians, artists. Artists have a very different back-end business model that has been created for them that they have all had to adhere to. And it's all regulation that all behooves the incumbents, not the creator, if you will, at all. It's all for, you know, for industry and for publishing companies and record companies and all stuff that is actually no longer needed. But you don't just twist someone's mind overnight and say, oh, you don't have to do it that way. It's not that simple. The handholding that will be necessary for artists of, you know, to be brought into the system, the understanding, even just purely of what is an RSS feed and what do I actually own with it and what hangs off of it, is miles behind where we are with podcasting. And so, I underestimated how important it is what a company like WaveLake is doing to try and they're learning themselves. They are definitely learning themselves to bring that in. And it really was apparent. This was quite a phenomenal experience. So Ainsley Costello's manager, Julie. So she loves Sam at WaveLake. She loves what they're doing. She's so happy that, you know, it's working and things are taking off, but she completely understands the future necessity of sovereignty because she's been through the label lying, the bull crap, the money stealing. She's seen it all. And she's also seen it from the modern platforms, the scam that just to get played, the whole thing. She understands that.
Would love to have her on the show if she would ever be willing to talk about it.
Oh, I'm sure she will. Now, Julie is phenomenal because you can't just have a chat with her. I've had two phone calls, each one 3 hours. She sent me an email last night. I haven't responded to it yet. This is one of the longest emails I've received in my life. let me do a word count on it. This is hilarious. Hold on.
Does it come with a link to ChatGPT?
to summarize it?
Yeah, right.
No, it's literally titled Thoughts. Okay, hold on a second.
I love one word subject and 5,000 word email.
Let me just see for a second. And this isn't, and I love it. And my first opening of my reply to her is going to be, I love that you did this. Because let me just see. Hold on a second. No, let me just paste this in here. Let me get a word.
Doug Up says it's a Substack.
Oh no, it's like it's two Substack accounts. There's got to be a word. I'm looking at Notepad +++. Surely they have a.
Yeah, it's in there. It's at the bottom on the status bar.
Oh, thank you.
Lines and words.
9,779 words.
Whoa.
Yes. Now, what
the mere, the mere fact, look, the mere fact that somebody, okay, this, when somebody sends me a one or two sentence email, I'm very appreciative. When somebody sends me a five paragraph email, I'm annoyed. When somebody sends me a 9,000 word email, I'm like, I will print that thing and spend a Sunday morning reading it, because I mean, that is a person who has something to say and you better listen.
Correct. So the first thing she goes into is U.S. law about what is a podcast and, you know, should it be deemed under, you know, the radio guidelines. And so, you know, I'm going to set her straight on that, because if the industry had a way to license music and podcasts, they would have done it. Are you kidding me? They would love to do that, but they can't, because they're all fighting against each other. Because is it a performance? Is it a stream? Is it a download? Is it a mechanical copy? Is it a derivative work? I mean, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is that in this quest by her to fit the existing system of publishing rights, master recording splits, there's all these different things that go, and this is just for existing work and how she's had to work with Ainsley in her career. She sees the need for a sovereign way to do this. Now, here's what's, and everyone has only been helpful, so I'm not being negative about anybody, but I also saw, because she's in the Telegram group. Mm-hmm. And she had a meeting with Voltage, and Voltage said, oh, I know what you want. You want your own node. Then you want to have BTC pay server. And so she's swimming in the sea of information, goes into the Telegram group, you know, the music part, music side project, she's got music side project running successfully. Because I'm having this problem with the node, and the first answers that come is, oh no, you should run your own node on a laptop at home. Like, no. And so now she's confused about liquidity, and, you know, we have to have liquidity. So all these things.
Yikes.
She can't see the forest through the trees.
Right.
And so that really made me realize that, wow, you know, we have a whole lot of work and explaining to do. And even, you know, she doesn't fundamentally yet understand. She thinks that splits come from the split kit. I mean, it's all so convoluted. Right. And no one's to blame. Everyone's really trying to help. And she's gotten incredibly far for where she is. But she now thinks, okay, well, it's actually good that every song has its own feed, because that's the ownership of that song, and we can split that underneath that. And so she doesn't even fundamentally yet understand that a feed has a channel level and item level, and that the ownership.
And why would she?
No, of course not. No human should have to understand this. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And again, everyone's just being super helpful. It's just, I'm sitting there, my eyes are swimming, like, oh, I've got to think about this for a second. How exactly do we need to do with this?
Right.
So there's so much thinking that has to go into this, that I'm very happy we're able to onboard artists at all through this quagmire of just stuff. Because, you know, we've been dealing with liquidity of nodes for 3 years. When we started, there was LNPay.
That was it.
You know, and Voltage, that was pretty, or Roll Your Own, and all that stuff was breaking left and right as well. So while Albie is not sovereign per se, you know, I thank God that we have Albie, and now I see the Breeze SDK starting to gain some traction. You know, so we're building all this. At the same time, people are coming in at a level of understanding that is very far behind ours. I think that that Sam and Michael at Wavelake are, you know, they're just kind of coming up to speed on this stuff. And you and I are both kind of half right on the splits there. But really, I'm going to take some blame for this, because I misunderstood what they were saying. There was miscommunication everywhere. They're good guys. They really want to try. Artists have been jerked around for really since day one, if you think about it. From day one of Ahmet Erdogan selling, you know, records out of the trunk of his car, artists have been jerked around mainly on money. And if you screw it up, the artist's going to say, okay, that was great. That didn't work. Screw those guys. I'm not interested in this V for V music. I don't, and even just what is value for value. You know, this, we need a lot of time and a lot of love and care amongst each other to make this all fit together and work. And I'm certainly guilty of running, boom, let me do my, I took the Boostagram ball off this week. I was like, I just got to,
I noticed that.
Yeah. I just got to recollect my thoughts here for a second. You know, just, and also I wanted to, you know, just look at all, everything I've played and, you know, and evaluate what I'm doing. So I'm just taking a, just took a little breather, and it was really good because this is when I saw that we are so far on the path of good, good, not just for, you know, forget commercial goodness, just good for people and humanity and distributing joy and information and happiness and sadness and all emotions and words of all kinds. You know, I just got to take, and the, you know, the Middle East thing happened, like, oh my God, look, everyone spun up and there are people who won't even go to the movie theater. They're so freaked out by what they saw on social media. They're afraid now, you know, so all these things come into play. I'm like, whoa, we are being controlled. We are so controlled by this whole system and ourselves. You know, we still have tailbones. We have no business trying to communicate with each other on a social network. That, you know, I'm so happy that we have this group of people who are thoughtful and you know, yeah, I think I stumbled. I think I got a little weird about you know, Wavelake, you know, being one of us or whatever. But really, we're all in this together, and we have to all open up and listen to where we're all coming from. Sometimes, you know, Alex Gates, I'm like, he'll say something like, here's a good example. And I'm saying, you know, I really love Boostagrams the way they are on Fountain. You know, it, that all of a sudden there's a people are, you know, they're reading the Boostagrams on Fountain. They can't read it anywhere else. And so, we get into this, you know, the kind of cross app comments, which just hasn't taken off. And I still publish them. It just hasn't taken off. They're not showing up in apps, whatever. It's okay. And you know, his demeanor is, I think it's wrong for people to have to pay to comment on something.
Right.
Which is totally okay. And so it was good because instead of thinking, nah, screw you, Alex Gates, I thought, okay, how can I work around this to get what I want? Which is not really the same as comments, I realized. It took me a minute to think about it. And I have a request for service, actually, that goes along with this.
Oh, okay.
If someone wants to create this service, I will give you a split, and you can receive value for this service that I would like. I would like to have a service that takes my Boostagrams for each episode and creates a dynamic chapter file so that Boostagrams appear in a chapter at the minute they were sent during the listening of the podcast. So instead of images, even if that Boostagram, because it's all sent in the TLV, if that Boostagram has a link to a remote item, such as a song, I want that to be the link.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that the chapter, let's just say chapters and chapter art.
Chapter title. Yeah, the chapter title and something in the art, you could dynamically generate something. So just like a timeline, you know, like the timeline on SoundCloud where people leave comments. That, so instead of the timeline, the minute someone says, now, of course, you'll have to, you know, it'll be different each time you load up the podcast or whatever. I mean, chapters seem to work pretty well. I start off with a dummy chapter and then Dreb puts chapters in later and then they show up for people who get it later and everyone seems to be pretty happy. I would love to have the option to say, okay, my chapter file is here and that chapter file is generated dynamically from a split that I send to a service, and the service then takes the Boostagram, takes the timestamp, you know, does like, let's just like helipad. What Eric PP has done is cool. Like, you know, put some duck emojis in there if it's a 2-2 and show that as a chapter. Perfectly valid use of chapters, right?
Well, I mean, I think you could probably make helipad do that. Right? I mean, because you could
have an export from heli. Well, the thing is, it would kind of have to be dynamic because they're listening to the show. Forget the live show. Just I release a show, there should be no boostograms. So once the boostograms come in, for the next person should be able to see that when they load up the episode. Or maybe there's a pod ping event that goes out at the same time, and then the app knows to refresh that or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, my point being, because I took a step back and my hackles weren't all up because of a philosophical difference we have, it led me to something that I think is a fun way of doing it that has nothing to do with cross-app comments. I guess what I'm saying is we need to listen and love each other more.
I know, sweetie.
I'm on a love trip here, baby.
Yeah, I know. I think this is important for a couple of reasons. It's a good discussion because we're between phases on the namespace. We got a lot of good ideas. Yes, there's some things we need. We want to continue going forward. Undeniably. But there's also there's a risk here. The risk is piggybacking off what the discussion with what Paul Thurrott was saying. Because he went on, he said a lot more. That episode, there was a lot more that I cut out about just this idea of the inshittification of the internet and about overload of social media and all these things. Mm-hmm. The risk, I believe, is that we don't want podcasting to get caught up in what I think is an inevitable walk away or pullback from the enshittified internet all around.
Can the title of this episode be Enshittification?
I think it should be. Yes. Robert's Rules of Orders. I vote.
So move, seconded. Okay, we're good. We're good to go. Right. Yeah.
So the fully enshittified internet is going to make people walk away from it.
Yes.
I think that's already happening. There's no other explanation on a large scale for some of the things we see. Mm-hmm. Now some things are just sort of like a downturn. They're financial. But I think let's start with this. The pandemic broke everybody's brain.
Oh, we're all very, very traumatized by it. Absolutely.
We're broken.
Yeah. We're a broken people.
We are. Mm-hmm. And the brokenness, I think, is manifesting itself. One thing you've seen is massive travel. People are vacationing. Mm-hmm. They're getting away from, en masse, getting away from the internet more. I've done this week. The last 2 weeks, I've had times like I would qualify myself as a heavy podcast listener.
Yeah.
I probably listen to, I don't know, 2 to 3 hours of podcasts a day minimum. Mm-hmm. And that has changed for me. I'm finding it more and more difficult to listen to that quantity of podcasts. I just want to take the earbuds out and go do something else besides plug into sort of the technology. Mm-hmm. And it's like the internet is going to eventually become like your electricity provider. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a thing that you need for certain tasks. But you're not going to live on it like you used to,
right?
But because we're adapting to what this thing is now, and so we don't want podcasting in general to become wrapped up in this. I think what's driven the frustration now with technology, try just doing something simple. And it's like somebody brought me this morning an iPad that they bought a new one. They want to just set it up like their old one. Ugh. And I just banging my head against the wall. This is, should be a simple process. Yeah, it was like,
it's not.
It took an hour and a half.
I know.
To, you know, oh, your password's not, you know, oh, forgot your password. You got to reset this, got to reset that. Oh, that didn't work. Got to blah, blah. It's like, you know what? At that point, there comes a point of frustration where you're just like, you know, I don't even want an iPad anymore. Just forget it. I thought I did. This is not worth it. This is not making my life better. It's making it worse.
Right.
And so this walk away sort of from things, the advertising-based podcast industrial complex is, if it's going to Velcro itself to the enshittified internet in a way that when people walk away, they're going to walk away from podcasting also. And sure, that's, we don't want that. And if we are not careful about driving the technology to levels of complication and going too fast, then we're going to also, you know, we got a Velcro suit and we're going to jump on that thing too. And we don't want that either.
No.
You're just going to be like, you know, just stuck on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And think, that's a real danger. I agree. It's a real danger.
Yeah. We don't want people like Julie to be like, you know what? Screw this. I've spent all day on this and I can't even get a lightning payment to come through.
I wrote 10,000 words.
I wrote 10,000 words and I still don't have a lightning payment. And I can't, I don't know how to open a channel. It's like, you know, this is, we don't want this.
No, stuff she should never have to deal with. You're not a banker.
So I think the answer really is a general slowing down and focusing on the quality, on tightening up the things that already exist, and making this thing work, making it a way, because we still have podcast hosts that have only done transcripts. They haven't taken step two.
By the way, I mean, it's what's really funny is I realized that Podcast Mirror, which is the Blueberry service, I realized they have entire instructions on how to value for value enable your SoundCloud feed. I mean, it's like I don't even want to tell people about that. But I mean, how cool is it? You could literally hook up an Albi wallet to your SoundCloud today. And add and add it to the index and you're good to go. I mean, that's another way of onboarding. But I have learned, like, no, that's not a good idea. We want these people, these podcasters known as artists, they need handholding. They need a different way of getting in. And you're right, slowing down is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've gone so balls to the wall with value for value. I think we have how many feeds do we have now? 16,000, 17,000?
Oh, I haven't even looked. It's been so long.
Where do I find that? I have
it's on the index. Yeah. Stats maybe.
No, it's not.
It's on the value for value page. It loads progressively.
Yeah. I have my, here I have stats.
15,488.
Yeah. So that's, I haven't gotten a report from our guy, Ron, about the growth, but I think we've gone from 15,000 to 15,000, 15,500. That's been pretty slow, probably. I'm not sure.
See, Brooklyn said we should get back to mailing out physical newsletters. I'm
all for it. You know, I got a catalog in the mail the other day.
Read it?
It's this huge catalog of, it's mainly for office supplies, but they have all kinds of stuff in it. I had an enjoyable experience. I'm like, oh, look at this chair. Oh, here's a cabinet I never knew I needed. Just thumbing through the catalog. You're like, wow. And I think these guys probably are onto something. They're not old school. This is new.
I now subscribe to a newspaper.
All right. Somebody needs to do a wellness check on Dave.
No, this is okay. It's Walter Kern's newspaper. It's a print newspaper.
Yeah.
It's called County Highway.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a newspaper of just well-written stories that don't, and there, it's not digital in any form. You cannot get this in digital format. It doesn't exist. It right. only exists on paper.
Bring back zines.
I love reading this newspaper. It is a fantastic experience. It makes you want a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Uline. It's called Uline.
Oh, I've seen this. Yeah.
The Uline catalog. Man, that was.
Oh, it's like a phone book. It's huge.
Super fun.
You can get, if you need about 7,000 feet of plastic wrap, you can, they're your people. Yeah,
but there's a lot of other cool stuff in there, like a gun rack for my car. Like, oh, I didn't know I needed that. Yeah, I don't.
Or one of those giant tape.
Those are hot. Yeah, I love those. Those are hot. Like, hey, baby, I got this huge toilet bowl dispenser in the bathroom. We'll never run out.
Bubble wrap the size of your head.
Shall we thank a few people since we're here? Because I know you need. We'll have some time left over after we do that.
I want to say that you were right. I just want to throw you a bone here. Say you are 100% correct about the thing you've always said is 50% of our advertising dollars are working, but we just don't know which 50, we just don't know which half.
Yes.
Half our advertising is that the right half well, our advertising is working?
Yeah, no, half of my advertising money is working. I just don't know which half. I didn't come up with that, by the way. That's not mine. It's not an Adam Curry original.
The title of this article for Ad Age: nearly half the data used for ad targeting is wrong.
Surprise.
And it goes on to describe the complete farce that is data ad targeting. One provider that averaged only 44% email postal match accuracy overall had, let's see. Oh, no, here it is. Average accuracy among data providers ranged from 32% to 69%.
Wow.
They don't know what they're doing.
No,
this is all a big farce.
So
yeah, let's thank some people.
Yes. And I will say value for value works. It doesn't all have to be Satoshis, but as we heard Paul Thurrott say, I just want it to be easy. We have created this easy way in the new podcast apps. I was appreciative of James's explanation that it's just a fair ground token.
I hadn't heard that.
Value for value. It's not crypto. It's a fair ground token. Okay.
Yeah, get a corn dog and a funnel cake.
Hey, I actually take the sats that I earn and we buy beef from KNC cattle with it. You know, I feel very powerful each time I do that. Say, thank you, boosters. I really do. Very appreciative.
I resumed my KNC cattle ordering. Their shipping went through the roof for about 2 months. And then now it's come back down to reality.
That's a direct pass through. That's UPS. Yeah.
I don't know what happened. It went for it went from like $100 up to like $400 or something. I was like, "Yowch!"
But if you go to beefinitiative.com, you can find an exact similar rancher near you in Alabama, and they'll ship it there. It'd be much cheaper shipping. You could even go there and pick it up yourself.
I'd have to leave the house and stuff.
Your truck would make so much sense driving onto the ranch. You're like, hey, there's one of us.
Did they give me a discount?
What came in during this live show? For some reason, I didn't hear any pew pews. I don't know why that. What happened there? We got 5,000 sats from Eric N. Love you guys. Trying to make my own music podcast. Thanks for the inspiration. We need those. We definitely need. Oh, just quick little update question. Have you had any chance to work on the remote item stuff in the API?
I started to, and then I had to try to figure out if I could do this.
Distributed polling. Distributed polling.
Yeah, export a copy of the non-check feed.
Sure,
It is right around the corner. Like I'm going to start it within the next day or so.
As always, this would just go as you can, brother. I have learned now. Easy, slow, steady as she goes.
It is on the immediate do list. Yes.
Okay. 6,333 from Shredward, who says, I'm boosting for Dad Dorfel, who is listening from the roof of Sir TJ the Wrathful. He's putting on a new roof for us. I, Shredward, live in the top floor apartment of TJ's house because he's got capital.
That's an Isaac Asimov book, right? I, Shredward.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even connect that.
No,
oh.
iRobot. That was an iRobot joke.
I like it. Actually, I wanted to play it, Dwarfles. We're running out of time. Dovidas.
Do it.
Well, let's get through these. Dovidas, 5,000 sats. I've been working nonstop on bringing music shows to RSS Blue. Most of the prerequisites are ready. Hope to have it finished in 2 weeks' time. Dovidas. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. I can't wait to send all my DJ friends to you. I really can't. I'm so excited by that. And Dovida sends us another 10,000 sets and says, happy birthday, podcasting 2.0. Is it our birthday?
150 episodes.
Oh, hey, happy birthday.
It's our 150th birthday.
That's right. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, it's funny when you attend a party and don't even realize it's for you. As Dreb Scott says, 150,000 sats to celebrate episode 150.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
He says, thanks for letting this non-developer find a way to be involved. Go podcasting. Thank you. Dreb gets it. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much, man. And that's what came in during the live show. We got one last one. It is a, let me get, I don't have my jingle here. It is 77-77. We call that a striper boost. From Sir TJ the Wrathful says, and I love the little Eric PP inspired Halo emoji there for the 7777. I freaking hate you lines. Please stop. Now, V for V magazines, I'd be happy to. He's a mail carrier. V for V magazines, I'd be happy to deliver your friendly neighborhood music making mail carrier, Wrathful Dorful. Should we play this little Dorfles?
I think we should, yes.
Because I love their podcast. Into the Dorful verse, and they're just sitting around as a family. Imagine that. It still happens. Sitting around as a family, and they say, you know, why don't we just do one of our songs live? We'll just do Bloodshot Lies live, and we'll just sing it live, and we'll play it live, and they did. And I'd like to share that with everybody, because it blew me. And they're in the garage.
Unplugged.
Unplugged. Dorfuls, unplugged.
Ready? One, two, one.
The minute we were smiling for a picture on your phone, now I call a voice that's saying that you're not at home. Too many Uber rides, too many closing times. When you lose yourself, you know where to find it. You can't believe in all the filters that you're posing through. Can't hide the real inside the person that I thought I knew. So many storylines all tangled up inside with what you think is true.
I don't even know. Sure you let me down, because I don't know if we really ever got that high. I look into your see-through eyes, wonder was it basic goodbyes. You keep telling me all these bloodshot lies. You live your life in a mirror, and it won't get any clearer until we find a way to see through all the broken glass. Can we go back to all those Saturday mornings? You used to shine so bright even when it was pouring, and as the storms blew by, it was just you and I. I don't even know you now. I'm not sure you let me down, because I don't know if we really ever got that high. I look into your see-through eyes, I wonder was it wasted goodbye. You keep telling me
so many lies, you believe that it's the truth. You'll be what you wanna be if that's more important. If that's more important, if that's more important than me. I don't even know you now. I'm not sure you let me down. Because I don't know if we really ever got that high.
Oh yeah.
Other than me stepping on your solo, it was great.
Wow.
See, that shit gives me goosebumps, man.
I love it.
Just goosebumps.
It just reminds you of the old of like Eric Clapton Unplugged. The old what MTV used to
Unplugged,
be.
Yeah. Unplugged. Unplugged. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Love it.
But I love that it's a family. They are, you know, they're doing yeah. it together. The whole story is just so good. So good. That's what I want. We need more of that.
Yeah. I love it, man.
And back to the Boostergrams. Here we go.
We got a PayPal.
Oh, okay. Yes, indeed.
We got a big one. From Benjamin Richardson and Alberto Batella from RSS.com. They sent us $1,234.
Holy mackerel.
Paula, shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Oh, you guys, thank you so much. You guys, the hosting companies, man, they do so well in keeping this rolling.
Yeah. And, you know, they're the IPFS stuff. They're not just insular. They're not just looking into themselves. I mean,
exactly.
The reason that RSS.com sends us, $1,000 is because they see they're marching beside us towards what we're just talking about on this show. Like we've got to push this thing broad. It's got to go wide instead of up.
And I was just thinking, you know, it's like, just you're jumping ahead three steps, of course, but it's like that service I just talked about, or even Sovereign Feeds, you know, if I could run that on my own Start9, I'd still cut Stephen B in for 10%.
You know, oh, sure.
Just because it's, you know, it's not about bandwidth anymore. It's about the creativity, the service, you know, the updates, the upgrading, keeping it, you know, the features. It's like, that's how it works. But at this point, my shows, I give away more than half of the value.
Yeah,
you, seriously.
You got like 20 splits in there now. It's going to break something.
No, so far it hasn't. That's the beauty of it. As far as I know, no, you know, it's fantastic. Like 50% of most of my shows now are going somewhere else, and I love it.
Benjamin Richardson says, Adam and Dave, we are grateful to everyone in the Podcasting 2.0 community for all the time, talent, and treasure they freely give back to the project. We love what it means to be We love what it means to podcasting podcasters and listeners. From your friends at RSS.com, go podcasting.
Go, I'll just hit
go it. Podcasting!
Yeah!
We've got a new subscriber automatic payment, $1 from Yaron Rosenstein. Thank you for the subscription.
Thank you, Yaron.
Yeah, we've got some Boostergrams for sure. We got 3658 from the Tone Wrecker.
Thank you, Tone Wrecker.
Yep. Through Fountain, he says, a value amount determined not to have any associated references or messages other than thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
No numerology involved.
Todd Cochran, 100,000 sats. He says, ask and you shall receive. We are working on adding more 2.0 features. Go podcasting. FYI, not grumpy yet.
I think we read that one on the last show, actually. Might have come in live. Yeah, might have come in live. We did that one. Possibly.
Maybe it was alive. Okay.
Thank you, Todd. Wizard. Thank you so much. I know you're not grumpy yet. And Todd celebrated 19 years.
Oh, wait, I'm going
to. Of podcasting. And he's on the, Todd Cochran, he's a big value for value promoter, man. He was on the Pod News Weekly Review. Good interview with Sam.
I haven't got there yet.
It's great.
Like 15 minutes into it.
Yeah. At a certain part, he said, I'm sitting here listening, I'm getting ready for the show. And he's like, you know, for value for value, you've got to train your audience. And he says, oh, hold on a second. He says, I think people just cringe when I said that. You don't train your audience. And I was just yelling at my phone. You don't train your audience, Todd. And he corrected himself. I love that guy.
He felt a tremor in the force.
No, but he gets it. $10,000 in like 4 months to Blueberry podcasters through Value for Value with Satoshis. It's pretty amazing.
Let's see. Drep Scott said, did we get the Row of Ducks Inception boost? 22-222?
I'm not sure.
Well, we got it through Podverse. Thank you, Drep Scott.
Thank you so much, Drep.
Gene Bean, 22-22, through Castomatic, he says, if you all can solve some of the linking and indexing of person tags, I think that would remove some barriers of adoption by hosts like Buzzsprout. Well, Buzzsprout does the person tag. They do that already.
Maybe he's talking about cross-referencing and linking and like how many, what other podcasts has this person appeared on or do they host?
No, I don't.
Can a person be a remote reference? A remote item? No, I guess not.
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay.
I think you're right. He's talking about the stuff we were talking about last week, where you link between where you pull the remote. You follow the remote reference, get the person from it, and then pull it back in.
If the curry.com RSS feed technically could be a remote item.
What do you mean?
If my identity was an RSS feed. Am I taking this too far now?
Oh, I see. Oh, so you like where the link in the link in the tag goes to an RSS feed, not.
Yeah, I would have as a person, I would have a GUID.
Yeah, this is SOPML.
Yeah.
Is
what
this is. It's all over again.
We're back to Freedom Controller.
Yeah, right. Yes. Okay.
One day. You and I know eventually we'll wind up there. Eventually it's all going to be Freedom Controller.
Yep.
In a PWA.
In a PWA. Gene Bean, 2222 again. Thank you, Gene. He says, boost two. I think I've heard Mitch talk about the indexing of person tags being a problem for Podverse. I think that may have to do with just the lack of a GUID, like a sort of a universal identifier for the person tag, which I admit is something, you know, simplicity was the driving force of the early tags. And if you have to have, you know, if you have to think about those things, but we may need to revisit that. I agree.
All right.
Kyron at the Mere Mortals podcast, also 22-22, Row of Ducks. Big one today. Through Fountain, he says, just to clarify, Adam, it would be on the Mere Mortals podcast, but obviously would talk a lot about V for V.
Oh, that's right. I had said that I would be on the Value for Value podcast, but it's Mere Mortals. I got it.
Ah, okay. I am nowhere near ready to attempt live interviews. Don't think I ever would want to, actually. That seems like a nightmare of complexity.
Oh, my goodness. It's so easy for you. Kyron, you're a great conversationalist. You don't have to edit anything. Yeah. I mean, next week, Tina's out of town. Let's do it next week. We'll do it live.
There you go. There's your practice round. But Chris, you know, 19810 sats through Podverse. It says, 1981 boost for the year Trivial Pursuit came out. My wife, non-Trivial Pursuit. With the answer of Adam Curry tonight from hearing this podcast on in the background often enough, she had to teach her dad what a VJ was. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Trivial Pursuit question. This happened a long time ago. That's right.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. You know you've got it made when you're a Trivial Pursuit question, unless it has something to do with your death.
That's no good. No. Kyron, again from the Mere Mortals podcast, he says, boosting as a test for the V4V app show running through. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Test received and worked. It worked.
5x5. Franco, 10,000 sets. The song on a podcast was from Cruisebox. All this music and wallet switching technology stuff makes me think about rebooting Rockcast Italia.
Oh, Cruisebox.
What is that?
Hold on a second. Cruisebox.
He's got a link here. Do you want me to give you this link?
Oh, send me the link. Are you kidding me? This is the song that I was singing that I couldn't find. Can you put it in Signal real quick?
Yep.
We had the PodSafe Music Network, which was, you know, pre-V4V, obviously. Let's see if this, oh my goodness. Okay. You gotta just listen to this for a second. Oh my God. I can't believe I'm hearing this. This is from like 2006 when we were thinking of rebooting the music industry. It was all a practice run, everybody.
Do you remember way back last summer when mainstream radio was such a fucking bummer? No indie music, nothing too funny. Clear channel motherfuckers did it for the
well,
money.
Yeah.
Somebody heard the call.
Just hear the hook.
Now you can have it all. I heard it on a podcast. Rockin' fucking radio. You want it, you got it. Just download it and put it on a podcast. No one's gonna stop you. Tell the FCC to stick it, kick it.
The revolution's on.
That's a great song.
I'm so happy I found that. Oh, we got to get that. We got to get that up on Value for Value. Someone reach out to, was it Lucas? Lucas, I think, who did that song. Wow. Oh, man. Thank you. I needed to hear that.
Did you get that bundle of ISOs I sent you?
Yes. You mean grab bag of ISOs. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know what to use is so much. I haven't listened to all of them yet.
Just since we've done 150 episodes, I went back and pulled all the ISOs that we've played in the past.
We've used all of these?
Yes. Yes.
My favorite was this one.
I just caught 5 Satoshis.
But I bundled that together for you because sometimes on No Agenda you show up and you don't have any. So this is you break the glass, rip the handle, and grab a random ISO.
Oh, yes. I love this.
Giving people power and expecting them to be disciplined about it is completely insane.
Yeah. Thank you, Belda. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Franco. Appreciate that, man. That's a blast from the past. Comic strip blogger.
There he is, Delimiter.
The Delimiter. 33015 through Fountain. He says, howdy, Podcast Index LLC team, Dave and Adam. Get unplugged with my Slavic bro, John C. Dvorak, and his multimillionaire pal, Andrew Horowitz, on DH Unplugged podcast, your weekly digest of market antics and economic musings. It's available at www.dhunplugged.com. Stay ahead of the market curve with DH Unplugged. Yo, CSB.
Thank you, CSB. Oh, I love DH Unplugged. That's one of my must listens.
Yeah, and the fact that he's still not value for value, just, yeah.
I mean, they do donations. Hurts. I know they do donations. You know what? Well, no. I mean, he keeps saying, "Yeah, I should do that," but you know, his eyes glaze over. I'll get to him one day.
Is he still on feed burner?
Yes. Yeah, that's the main problem. He's on feed burner. That's exactly the problem.
He can go to Podcast Mirror now because that's the feed burner killer, right?
I'm going to suggest it to him, but then he'll probably be like, $5
on a podcast.
Okay, we got FCC some monthly to stick it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Every 27 F-bombs.
On a podcast.
Basil Phillip, $25.
Thank you.
Basil Podverse, $50. Thank you, Mitch and Creon. Mitch,
thank you so much, brother. Yeah.
Lauren Ball, $24.20. Thank you, Lauren. Mitch again, $10.
Hot Mitch.
Christopher Harabarek, $10.
I think we need to forbid Mitch from putting any money in right now. He's quit his job to do this now. Save it.
Yeah.
Come back in three months. Yeah.
Christopher Harabarek, $10. Terry Keller, $5. Chris Cohen, $5. Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Damon Kasajak, $15. Derek J. Visker, $21. Thank you, Derek. And Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Thank you, Paul.
Yes, thank you all very much for contributing value back to the podcast, time, talent, or treasure. Obviously, most of the people listening are contributing with time and talent, the treasure. You heard Dreb Scott. He says, this is a great way for me as a non-developer to still be able to participate in the entire process. And we really appreciate you and everybody else. You can also go to podcastindex.org down at the bottom. We have our own two red buttons. But you know, someone doesn't get canceled when you press that one. No, instead, one allows you to go to Tallycoin, where you can support us with on-chain Bitcoin. The last time that was done was Dreb Scott on the 22nd of September. Or you can hit the fiat fund coupon donate button and support us with PayPal for as long as they'll allow us. And of course, getting a modern podcast app at podcastapps.com is really the way of the future, and we appreciate all the sats that you have been sending to us. Thank you so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0. 2 hours on the nose, Dave Jones.
I think we need to play this up talk clip.
We can't leave without some up talk.
Well, it's a new version of up talk. Like, it's not just your straight normal up talk.
Oh.
This is sort of, it starts normal. Mm-hmm. It's this is a clip about how podcast advertising is all BS. It doesn't work.
Okay.
But then if you notice towards the end, it begins to become like a sine wave of up talk where it's like, no, 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 no. All right, hit it.
Okay.
And I run the e-commerce business, but then also all of our growth marketing, and have been there 3.5 years. So, pretty long time, and I'm super excited to be getting kind of back into the audio space after a while. I think for the last, call it 8 years or so, I've been at companies where we've kind of been limited with budget and availability to grow in channels. And I think we're in a time right now where even if we don't have incremental budget, I think all of us probably feel pretty comfortable pulling from Facebook and reinvesting in other places. And so I'm super excited to be working with
Oh man, that is a sine wave. It's like a very low hertz though.
Watch for it. It's happening everywhere.
What company was this young woman speaking of?
I don't remember. She basically said nothing works but Facebook.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster. That's right, Eric PP. Yes. Brother, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. I know it's a really tough time work-wise. It's busy. And for giving up your lunch. I still feel bad that all you had chips and onion dip. There you go. And your hands are all greasy and now it's on your keyboard. And that's disgusting.
I did have a beef shake, though. I wrangled one of those. You know, beef shakes and Tradwells.
Nothing like a beef shake. Thank you very much, chat room. Thank you, boardroom, for being here for Podcasting 2.0. Our anniversary, 150 episodes. Looking forward to the next one. We come back next week. We'll do another board meeting right here of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
We need to listen and love each other more.